Old radio.
Old radio.
Old radio.
Old radio.
Old radio.
Comedy Podcast.
Welcome to episode 29 of season 5 of the Old Radio Comedy Podcast. Today we bring you the April 25th, 1948 broadcast of the Fred Allen Show, Scalping Baseball Tickets, and the November 13th, 1945 broadcast of the Allen Young Show, Allen the Fullback. Sit back and enjoy. And thanks for listening.
The Ford Dealers of America present the Fred Allen Show. Show with Fred's guests Leo DeRocha, Portland Hoffa, Minerva Pius, Peter Donald, Parker Fenley, the DeMarco sisters, and Al Goodman and his orchestra. And this is Kenny Delmar speaking for your friendly Ford dealer. He's the expert on Fords in your neighborhood. He's the one who knows your Ford best. It stands to reason that he's the man to service your Ford. He has special equipment to do the job right. His mechanics are Ford trained in factory approved methods. He has genuine Ford parts. So for an expert job done promptly, it pays to bring your Ford back home for service.
Ladies and gentlemen, to observe daylight saving time, today all clocks were moved ahead 1 hour. Tonight, we bring you the man of the hour. The hour the country lost. He's Fred Allen.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. In Portland, I'm glad you mentioned that mildly amusing bit that you did about daylight saving time.
When the clocks are moved ahead, does that make everybody an hour younger?
An hour younger? Yes, it does. If you had a grandfather clock and you moved it ahead enough hours, the grandfather clock would become a little boy clock with a small face and dirty hands. You'd have to move it ahead an awful lot.
Daylight.
Wait, just because your lines don't get lashed, you know.
Daylight saving spoiled Mama's cuckoo clock.
Really? How?
The cuckoo doesn't know what time it is.
Really? What makes you think so?
Today at 12 o'clock, the cuckoo came out and just shrugged its wings.
If you think you're... I saw a man come out of the Audubon Society and do the same thing. I think he was cuckoo too, but he... If you think your cuckoo is confused, you should see Misha Auer today. He doesn't even know who he is. Say, I just happened... We have awfully slow acoustics in here. I must speak to Mr. Trammell to have the acoustics stepped up in here. Say, Portland, I just happen to think Jack Eigen.
What is that?
Well, Jack Eigen only listens to our program until he hears his name. Now, he asked me to mention his name early tonight. He has to go over to the circus. He's doing a special broadcast from inside Gargantua's cage. After the show, Gargantua is going over to the Copa, I think, for Jack's anniversary. It looks like a big night with fur on at the Copa. Tell me, Portland. Wait till they get Gargantua to check his coat. Wait till they try. Tell me, Portland, what's in the news this week?
The subway fare is going to be raised to 10 cents.
I wonder why they're raising the subway fare.
Well, Mama says they're trying to keep out the riffraff.
Well, they should. The subway really could use a better class of people.
It's going to cost 10 cents to come from Jackson Heights.
And it's going to be worth it.
The new subway jingle.
Really? What is the subway jingle?
The subway fare is now a dime. Commuters think it is a crime. The good old days are forever lost when a ride in the subway only costs a nickel, 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 nickel.
That's
nickel,
very
nickel.
Good. I must say, you are in rare voice tonight.
Do you think I'll ever sing at the Met?
Not inside, no. Tell me, what else is hot in the news?
Well, Kathleen Windsor, who wrote Forever Amber, is divorcing her husband, Artie Shaw.
Yeah, they say she's writing a sequel to Forever Amber.
A sequel?
It's called Temporarily Artie. I don't hear any cries. I don't hear any cries of author from people waiting to wanting the name of the man who wrote that joke. I think I shall start for Allen's Alley.
What is your question tonight?
Well, a new book called The Treasury of American Superstitions has been compiled by Claudia DeLise. It contains every superstition you have ever heard of, Portland. And so, being in the mood for superstitions, our question is, how do you feel about superstitions?
Shall we go?
As the Chinese teapot said to the auctioneer's hammer, I'm going, going, I'm gone. It's good to get back to Allen's Alley, Portland. I guess the Senator's having mule meat for dinner. There's something braying in the barbecue pit. Oh, well, let's knock.
Somebody tap my trellis. Oh, it's you, Jughead.
Yes, Senator.
Well, let's go, son. As the two men said when they was inventing bubble gum, let's make it snappy.
But,
you know, I'm busier than a handkerchief during a Betty Davis picture. I'm working on Senator Taft's housing bill. Everybody today is trying to get into a new house.
But,
even Senator Taft.
Senator Taft is trying to get into a new house?
Yeah, the White House. You don't get it, do you, son?
No.
You ought to give your head to a bone bank.
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute, sir. Take it easy with those innuendos, Senator. Tell me, what's new?
Well, I was up in New York attending that newspaper publisher's convention.
The newspaper?
Confidentially, son. Don't let this get around.
No.
I never read the newspapers, only the funnies.
The comics, eh?
Yeah, my favorite is Joe Palooka.
Joe Palooka,
When I was a young sprout, I used to dress like Joe Palooka.
Yeah?
Used to talk like Joe Palooka.
Yeah?
Used to walk like Joe Palooka.
Gosh.
When I'd strut down the street, everybody would say, there goes that Palooka.
And they can still say that today, Senator.
I'm honored, son.
Well, tell me, Senator, how do you feel about American superstition?
Well, son, down where I come from, we've got one superstition.
And that superstition is?
That a drink of whiskey will cure a snake bite.
I see.
For 20 years, every morning when I get up, I drink a full tumbler of whiskey.
Every morning?
Every noon before dinner, I drink another full tumbler of whiskey.
Every noon?
Every night before going to bed, I drink a full tumbler of whiskey.
You've been drinking whiskey for 20 years. Have you ever been bitten by a snake, Senator?
Not yet, son.
No?
But the first snake that bites me is going to find me well prepared. So long.
I hope the snake is as well fortified as the senator. Yeah, I wonder if Mr. Moody's around.
Howdy, Bob.
Mr. Moody, you look a little tired.
Yeah, last night I was up till all hours.
Oh, really?
Must have been 9 o'clock before I got to bed. And then this morning I didn't wake up till 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock?
Yeah, the whole forenoon was gone.
What kept you up so late?
Oh, Townsend Club had to do.
Oh, really? What was the entertainment?
The first act was a feller in yellow bell brigands and bare feet.
An acrobat?
Yeah. He kept skinning the cat for 20 minutes.
Oh, I see.
Next, two fellas come on dressed in blood-red tuxedos.
Yes?
They played Chinatown, My Chinatown on musical bottles.
Say, this was some show.
The grand howdy-do and climax was Miss Mona Huckabee.
Yeah?
Miss Huckabee, she gave an exciting description of a honeysuckle bloom unfolding and opening up that she'd spied on through a magnifying glass.
Hey, you had some evening.
I'd think twice before I'd go through it again.
Mr. Moody, what about these American superstitions?
Why, some of them make sense, some don't.
Well, how do you mean?
Well, some people think keeping a whale in a closet is bad luck.
Yes, that's true.
And a family I know, they wouldn't open an umbrella in the house. They said that was bad luck.
Really?
One spring it rained, 32 straight days and nights.
Yeah?
Rain started pouring through the roof down inside the house.
They wouldn't raise an umbrella?
No. Whole family was drowned.
What are you talking about? Well, tell me, Titus, do you have any superstitions?
Why, I ain't decided. No. Last summer, I nailed a horseshoe up over my front door to bring me good luck. And it did.
What happened?
Why, one night, lightning struck the metal horseshoe.
Yes.
My house burnt to the ground.
But how were you lucky?
I wasn't home. So long.
Oh, let's try this next door.
Howdy, Jeffy.
Ah, Mrs. Nussbaum, I see you have your gold wedgies on.
I'm practically only now this minute from the theater returning.
Really? What play did you see?
Macbeth. It is written by Jake Spear.
Jake Spear. Are you a Shakespeare fan?
Then I am attending by Mrs. Biberman the finishing school, a young chit.
Uh-huh.
I'm starting with the dramatics club in Macbeth.
Oh, really? What part did you play in Macbeth?
With long hair, also one tooth, I am a witch.
Oh, a witch?
doubling, toil with troubling. Fire, brain, also cauldron, bubbling.
From the play of the same name. That's very good.
Mrs. Biberman is saying, with closing the eyes, you are not knowing me from Morris Evans.
I can say that. Well, Mrs. Nussbaum, how do you feel about superstitions?
Oh, walking under a mirror, breaking a ladder, throwing over the shoulder saltines. I'm laughing.
Do you recall any specific instances where you have flouted superstition?
Last October.
What happened?
It's an old superstition. A black cat is crossing the path, is coming bad luck.
Bad luck.
With Pierre, I am out driving.
Yes.
Is crossing the path three black cats.
Three black cats?
We are hitting them. One, two, three.
And the bad luck?
The black cat is having the bad luck.
And you?
I am having a new fur coat.
Oh, my God. Brings us to the Ajax Cassidy shanty. Let's pass the time of day with Mr. Cassidy. Well, Mr. Cassidy, what about these superstitions?
Me boy, superstitions are not to be taken lightly.
No?
When the supernatural is flaunted, dire are the consequences that can ensue.
You know of a specific case, Ajax?
I do. 'Twas three on a match put Balzac Brannigan in the hospital.
Three on a match?
Well, now, you see, Balzac was at the circus.
Yes.
And the Siamese twins was just lighting two cigarettes.
Uh-huh.
Balzac stepped up and asked the Siamese twins for a light.
I see.
Well, after he got the light, Balzac started to walk between the Siamese twins. He was stopped.
I see.
Balzac says, whatever it is, let it down, boys. I've got to get through.
Let it... Yeah?
Well, a fight stamp.
Yes?
One of the Siamese twins was arrested, the other one got away, and Balzac came to in the accident ward.
Say, there must be something to those superstitions.
Oh, there is. Now, you take Knocko Nolan, the waiter.
What happened to Knocko, the waiter?
Well, now, all his life, to ward off rheumatism, yeah? Knocko carried an acorn in his pocket.
An acorn?
When he finally died, Knocko, the waiter, was buried in his waiter suit with the acorn still in his pocket.
Uh-huh.
20 years later, what happened?
What?
Out of Knocko, the waiter's grave, there grew a giant oak tree.
A giant oak tree.
And the oak tree had on a tuxedo coat and a dickie.
Tell me, are you superstitious, Ajax?
Oh, I am, me boy. I'm convinced the number 13 is unlucky.
What makes you think so?
Well, 13 has caused me to disappear at frequent intervals for periods of 30 days.
13?
12 jurymen and a judge. Good night.
We've had enough fun. He's ready now for the DeMarco song. And so, the five DeMarco sisters and Maestro Goodman add up to April showers. Girls?
When you see clouds up hill. Too soon we'll see crowds of daffodils. So keep on looking for a bluebird and listening for his song. Whenever April showers come along, when you see clouds up in the hill, soon you see crowds, so many daffodils in the hill. So look for bluebird and listen for his song whenever April showers come along. When April showers come along.
And now, ladies and gentlemen...
Oh, Fred.
Yes, Kenny?
Senator Claghorn is outside to see you.
Senator Claghorn? I just left him a little while ago. Send him in.
All right. Right this way, Senator.
Yes, come right in, Senator Claghorn.
Well, howdy. I say howdy, son. Have a cigar.
Well, thanks, Senator. Say, what's the big idea carrying that tree trunk with you?
Well, son, I'm aiming to make some stump speeches. I'm campaigning.
Campaigning? Oh, that explains this free cigar, then. Say, what's this writing on the band? A vote for Claghorn is a vote for Ford trucks.
Hey, that's my slogan, son. It's sweeping the country.
The new Ford trucks?
They're drawing the crowd, son. Everybody wants that bonus.
You are giving a bonus?
Ford trucks are giving the bonus. They're bonus built. Built extra strong to last longer, that is.
Well, tell me, Senator, isn't this something new in politics, building a platform around trucks?
Well, son, when I heard there were 139 models in the new Ford truck line, I started thinking.
Thinking what?
When I heard how truck drivers were raving about the comfort of Ford's new million-dollar cab, I made up my mind.
You're setting up campaign headquarters at your Ford dealers?
I'm doing better than that, son. I'm turning in my old bandwagon for a new Ford truck. So long, son. So long, that is.
So long again, Senator. So long. For listeners who feel that a little music goes a long way, we have just offered a few bars of But Beautiful, played by Maestro Al Goodman and his They Knew Vaughn Monroe When He Was Only a Schmo Orchestra. And now, ladies, yes, Portland.
Who is our guest tonight?
Well, we haven't any guests, Portland.
No guests?
That is one of the things that is wrong with radio today. Every program has refrigerators and guests.
But...
Radio has too many guests. I heard a guest on Mary Margaret McBride's program the other day. He brought a guest with him. Well, while Mary was interviewing her guest, the guest was interviewing his guest. It was very confusing. Mr. Bohack objected, I heard later.
But last week, you said Leo DeRocher was coming tonight.
Leo DeRocher is the reason I am finished with guests, Portland. The trouble I had with that Leo DeRocher.
What happened?
Well, last Thursday, I was walking along 50th Street. Just as I passed Peg Woffington's tea shop, the door opened, and I heard a voice say...
Hello, Fred.
Leo DeRocher. Leo, what are you doing coming out of Peg Woffington's tea shop?
I just finished my lesson.
Your lesson in a tea shop?
Yes, I have a tutor. I'm studying the theory and proper technique of drinking tea.
Tea?
Fred, do you know when you finish your tea, you're not supposed to squeeze the wet tea bag out between your fingers?
No? What do you do?
Well, when you're finished, you pick the tea bag up in the sugar tongs and press it gently.
But, Leo...
Fred, do you know what I learned today?
What?
You drink tea out of the cup.
The cup? What do you do with the saucer?
Well, if your tea is too hot to drink, you fan it with your saucer.
Oh, wait a minute, Leo. Leo, what is this tea routine?
Well, you have to know these things, old boy, when you're in the literary set.
You are in the literary set?
Yes, Fred. I just wrote a book.
A book?
It's called The Dodgers and Me.
The Dodgers and me.
Well, in Boston, of course, it's called The Dodgers and I.
Oh, naturally. But, Leo, how did you ever happen to write a book?
Well, last year, Fred, I had a lot of time on my hands.
I know.
Yeah, and And I read that Babe Ruth was writing a book, and it gave me an idea.
Oh, so you started to write a book, too?
I wrote day and night for 6 months.
And when you finished?
I had a sentence 300 pages long.
One sentence was 300 pages long?
The publisher made me go back and break it up into paragraphs. Then he showed me what periods, commas, and hyphens were and told me to punctuate it.
And when the book was finished?
I had 200 commas, 30 periods, and one hyphen left over.
One hyphen, eh?
I finally got rid of the hyphen.
How?
I stood the hyphen up on end and used it for an exclamation point.
Good, good.
Well, Fred, I must dash. I'll be late for my etiquette class.
Etiquette class?
Oh, yes. Attending all these literary teas, I can't afford to commit a faux pas.
Oh, you're polishing your manners?
Oh, I'm also learning my knives and forks.
Oh, fine.
Fred, you know that little fork way down at the end of the forks?
Yes.
That's for eating oysters.
No kidding. An oyster fork?
For 30 years, I've been eating oysters with a spoon.
Gosh.
Last night, my homework was correct napkin usage.
Correct napkin usage.
The napkin is supposed to be unfurled and tossed casually on the lap.
Oh.
I used to stuff my napkin down in my collar.
Oh, and now that your napkin is in your lap?
My shirt is loaded with gravy.
You're a mess, eh?
Well, I'm a slob, but I'm correct.
Leo, take my advice. Stay a slob. What do you want with etiquette and writing books? Why, you're one of the best managers in baseball.
Ah, but I'm thinking of my future, Fred. That's why I became an author.
Why?
Well, George Bernard Shaw is 92 years old, and he's still writing, isn't he?
Yes.
When a baseball player is 92, where is he?
Where?
He's pitching for the Giants.
Leo, I wonder if you...
I'll be glad to, Fred. I'll have my publisher, Ziff Davis, send you a copy of my book, The Dodgers and Me, tomorrow.
No, not the book, Leo. I know the Dodgers are playing at Ebbets Field. I thought you might have a ticket.
Oh, it just so happens I have two extra tickets. Eugene O'Neill couldn't make it. Here you are, Fred.
Gosh, two tickets. Thanks a lot, Leo.
Well, I'm having a beret made. I've got to get a fitting. So long, Fred.
So long, Leo. Well, Portland, the next day I took the two tickets and went over to Brooklyn to see the game. I got out of the subway. I seemed to be in the very heart of Brooklyn. Natives crowded around me in their quaint costumes, chattering in a strange tongue. I stopped a native girl and said, "Pardon me." The native girl replied,
"What's eating you, Jake?"
Can you tell me, miss, can you tell me how to get to Ebbets Field?
Ebbets Field?
Yes.
Latch on.
Uh-huh.
This is my lamium first.
Yeah.
You get down first, you see an oyster bar.
Uh-huh.
Cross the oyster bar is a mum pitcher.
Yeah.
Next mum pitcher's tide.
Yeah.
Get down tide, 30 blocks. That's 30 tide and tide. That's Ebbets Field.
Well, I know, but where is Ebbets Field?
Oh, you refugees.
Now, look. Look, miss. Miss, by any chance, are you going? You going towards Ebbets Field?
I noted a wolf in creep's clothing.
Now, miss, miss, I have an extra ticket to the game. If you'd like to.
Oh yeah, I'm calling a cop.
Come back here, miss. Miss, I have an extra ticket.
Pardon me, mister.
Yes, sir.
I heard you yelling. Are you selling tickets for the Dodgers game?
No, not selling. No, I just happen to have an extra ticket here.
I'll give you $5 for it.
Oh, no. I couldn't take your money.
But I insist.
No. Here, you take the ticket.
Here's the $5. So long.
No, wait. Come here. I don't want your money.
Hey, you there. Just a minute.
Yes, officer.
You got a license to sell baseball tickets?
A license? No.
I thought so. A scalper.
A scalper?
That's a joke, copper. He tried to give me the eye.
Molest him, too. All right, come on, Chisler.
But, officer, I can explain.
Tell it to the judge.
But I'm going to Ebbets Field.
Oh, yeah?
I'm Leo DeRocha's guest. He invited me to see his team.
Never mind the team. I'm calling the wagon. Come on!
Now, wait. Take your cold hand out of my collar, officer. You're chilling my Adam's apple, officer. And I... Well, Portland, the next morning I had to go to court. I called Leo DeRocha, and he came over to be my witness. We got to the Brooklyn court just in time. The judge was rapping his gavel.
Here yours. The next case. Next case. People of Brooklyn versus Fred Allen. The charge, ticket speculating. Guilty or not guilty, Allen?
Not guilty, Your Honor.
That's what you think. Wait till I get going. All right, who's the first witness?
I am, Judge.
What's your name?
Charlie Heffelfinger.
What happened, Charlie?
Well, Your Honor, I'm standing on Myrtle Avenue when this Geronimo give me the eye. Well, I throw him the chill. The next thing I know, he's hawking tickets to the Dodgers game.
Your Honor, this is ridiculous.
Order in the court! Officer Clancy.
I caught him two-handed, Your Honor.
Two-handed?
In one hand, he had a ticket. In the other hand, he was holding $5.
Where's the evidence, Clancy?
Right here. Here's the stub of the ticket.
Clancy, how was the game?
Oh, great. And here's the change from his $5. I had 17 hot dogs.
Alan, this evidence is incriminating.
Your Honor, I can explain.
Order in the court! Whereas, you opened your trap once more, I'll throw me gravel in it. Now, wait a minute. Don't talk back. You New York wise guys has got to quit coming over here trying to smirch the good name of Brooklyn.
But, Your Honor...
Last week, a guy in a parking lot had a television set on top of a beer barrel. He was simulating a saloon. Now you come over with your ticket speculating. I ought to habeas your corpus.
But, Your Honor, I have a witness.
All right, where's your witness?
He's right here. Tell the judge, Leo.
Your Honor, I feel that the prosecution of this innocent man is a grave miscarriage of justice.
Hey, just a moment, character. Who are you?
I'm Leo DeRocher.
What's on your mind, bud?
Well, I'd like to say a few words on Mr. Allen's behalf.
Yes, tell the judge just what happened, Leo.
Yeah, no perjury, neither.
Well, Your Honor, the quality of mercy is not strained. It droppeth as the gentle rain from heaven.
What is that, a weather report?
Your Honor, that's from the Merchant of Venice.
I don't care if it's from Abraham and Strauss. This sounds like self-tickets.
Your Honor?
Tell him where I got the tickets, Leo.
Your Honor, I gave Mr. Allen those baseball tickets.
What are you, a printer?
Oh, a writer.
You're a writer? Oh, Clancy.
Oh, yeah, Your Honor.
I think I got this bum trapped. Give him a pencil and paper.
Okay, Judge.
All right, Mr. Writer. Now write something.
Gladly, Your Honor. There you are.
Hey, look, Clancy, what is this?
It's writing, Judge.
No kidding. I thought writing was bigger than that.
No, Judge, that's writing.
All right, Mr. Wise Guy, you wrote it. Now read it. What does it say?
It says, the Dodgers and me, on sale May 18th at all bookshops.
Did you hear that, Judge? The Dodgers are for sale.
Yeah, that does it. Alan is scalping tickets and this con man is trying to sell the Dodgers. Clancy, hand me reservation book for Sing Sing.
Your Honor, this is ridiculous. Leo, tell him who you really are.
But Fred, my literary standing.
But Leo, Sing Sing.
Oh, all right. Your Honor, I'm manager of the Brooklyn Dodgers.
What did you say your name was again?
DeRocher. Leo DeRocher.
Leo DeRocher. How long you been managing the Dodgers?
9 years.
Oh, yeah? Where was you last year?
Well, it's a long story, Judge. Part of the time, I was writing a book.
And you say this year you're managing the Dodgers?
Yes, Your Honor.
Better you should start writing another book.
What do you mean?
Well, what happened last Wednesday? The Giants beat us. What's the big idea, using 24 men?
Well, the Dodgers had a bad day, Your Honor.
Why don't you fix the lineup?
What's wrong with the lineup?
Well, you got Ward on first, Robinson on second, Cox on third.
What lineup would you use?
Well, first I put Stanky on second.
Stanky's in Boston.
What's Stanky doing in Boston? The Dodgers is playing in Brooklyn.
We sold Stanky to Boston.
Brooklyn sold Stanky? Would the Mine Workers Union sell John L. Lewis?
I'm not managing the Mine Workers Union.
Well, anyway, there's one consolation. We still got Dixie Walker.
Judge, haven't you heard?
Leo, you didn't.
Dixie was sold to Pittsburgh.
Leo, do we still have 9 men left?
What do you think we're playing with? You knucklehead bat boys.
Okay, old Leo, but let's get them organized. Maybe we won't win the pennant, but at least we won't fall out of the league.
Hey, Judge, Your Honor, what about my trial?
Ah, quiet. The court's busy trying to save the Dodgers. Now, Leo, here's your line.
All right, Judge, who's on first?
Now, what's on first?
That's what I said. Who's on first?
Who's on second? What's on first?
Your Honor, what about me?
You're on third. Now, listen, Leo. Quiet, Judge.
You bet you.
Yes, here we go again. It's Alan Young, very deep in trouble. And as usual, we gotta dig him out. Listen to that young man who tries to be helpful and always needs help himself, Alan Young.
Well, Betty, I'm all set for the football game. Just want to try on my equipment here.
Oh, Alan, there's so much of it. Helmets, shoes, and oh, what's this? Well, I didn't know football players wore these.
Betty, those are shoulder pads.
Well, that gives you an idea of what happens when Alan tries to become a football player, and the story you'll hear in just a moment.
Peter Van Steeden in the orchestra with two rumba tunes, Mama Inez and Peanut Vendor.
Well, business isn't too good at Alan's sign painting shop, so Alan's out trying to drum up a little trade. Right now, he's at the little restaurant across the street, talking to Minnie, owner of Minnie's Famous Meatball Palace.
Ah, you're wasting your time, Mr. Young. What would a restaurant like this need with fancy signs? This here is a very informal, home type of cave.
Minnie, the signs will help business. Here, look at this sample sign I made up for you. Try Minnie's two-way meatballs. They melt in your mouth and harden in your stomach.
Well, I'll tell you the truth, Blue Eyes. My mind ain't on signs today. I just had a letter from my husband in the Navy.
A letter from your sailor man? That's wonderful, Minnie.
Yeah, listen to the way he starts. Yeah. November 5th, somewhere in Roseland. Dear wifey, the Navy is finally releasing me. They lowered the point system, and they also took into consideration the fact that I've been in for 27 years. So I'll be seeing you soon, my dearest wife. I'm bringing home a little souvenir I picked up in Paris. Her name is Yvette.
Must be a French poodle.
Yeah.
Minnie, I'm very happy for you. As a matter of fact, I'd like to make you a welcome home sign free of charge.
Blue Eyes, that's mighty nice of you. I always said you're so good-hearted and generous and fine and noble.
Oh.
Well, you are good-hearted and generous and fine.
You forgot noble.
Oh, yeah, noble.
Oh. The least I can do. After all, your husband is being released from the Navy. If I was in the Navy, I know just how he feels. I'll never forget the day I finally took off my sailor suit. It was so wonderful to sit down and feel free again.
Well, look, Blue Eyes, you'll never make any money giving signs away.
Oh, it's nothing many. I got my eye on a big order of signs from the Ditton Pepper department store. See, every year, Mr. Ditton Pepper spends about $1,000 for Christmas signs.
Hiya, Mr. Young. I was just over at your sign shop looking for you.
Oh, David, boy. Minnie, I want you to meet a friend of mine, David Ditton Pepper. Mr. Ditton Pepper's little boy?
Gee, he's cute. How old are you, little boy?
I'm 10 years old.
Uh-huh. Would you care for one of my meatballs?
No, thanks. I make it a practice never to eat anything older than I am.
Minnie, don't you think David is a cute little boy?
Yeah, very cute. He must come over sometime and play on my barbed wire fence.
Yeah. Now, David, what is it you wanted to see Mr. Young about?
Well, the football team has another big game today, and they want to know if you'll play fullback again.
Oh, I'm sorry, David, but I'm busy today, and besides, I'm still a little bruised from yesterday's game.
You played football yesterday?
Yeah, it was kind of rough, you know, throwing those passes, crashing through center, fighting off those tacklers. It was a rough game, eh, David?
Certainly was. Three of the kids didn't show up in kindergarten today. Kindergarten?
Well, I'm kidding you, Minnie. That other team was plenty tough. Plenty. And heavy, too. I only weigh 130 pounds, and those guys weighed 180 pounds. All together, of course.
Oh, but playing football with a bunch of little boys.
They weren't all little boys.
No, there were 6 girls in there, too.
Well, I wasn't really playing my hardest. I only scored 85 points.
If you're so good, Mr. Young, why don't you go out for my father's football team? His department store is playing a big game tomorrow.
No, thanks. I'll stick to the sign painting business. Well, I gotta be running along. I was a swell meal, Minnie. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Don't bother moving your cup. Just leave it there. I gotta mend that tea bag. You see, we only used it 3 times.
Oh, well, that's all right. I'll run along. Oops. Nearly broke the chain on the napkin. I'll see you tonight, David. I'm going over to your house to sell your father an order of Christmas signs. So long, Minnie.
So long, Blue Eyes.
So long, Mr. Young. Well, I hope Blue Eyes gets a nice order from your old man, kid.
Well, he'd stand a better chance if he'd play on my father's football team tomorrow. They're playing a big game against the state prison rock crushers.
Say, I just got an idea, David. What would happen if your old man was to read in the paper where Alan Young scored 85 points in a football game yesterday?
He'd make Mr. Young fullback on his team and give him that order for the Christmas signs, too.
All right, kid. We'll write out an item for the local paper. Now, let's see. Football history was made yesterday when 85 points was scored by Alan Young, the Galloping Ghost.
Galloping Ghost? That don't sound right.
Oh, yeah. I better make it the Crawling Creep.
While Alan's on his way to sell a sign to Mr. Ditton Pepper, let's listen to Four Chicks and Chuck sing No Can Do.
She was a Latin daughter. He was a caballero. He called around to court her, but from a balcony, he would hear her say, no can do, no can do. My mama and my papa say, I no can do, no can do, no can do. I want for me to go with you, but no can do.
You like me, I like you. I like to do it, what you call it, bitch the woo.
No can do, no can do. My mama and my papa say I no can do.
The moochie say to me, come on, come out tonight.
I want for you to hold my hand and hold me tight. And love, it can't be wrong, and so it must be right. But oh, no can do, no can do. I like to do it, what you call it, pitch the woo. No can do, no can do. My mama and my papa say I know. The moon, she say, go.
out tonight. I want for you to hold me tight. And love can't be wrong, and so it must be right. No can do, no can do. Gee, I'd like to pitch the moon. No can do, no can do. My mama and my papa.
Daddy, stop worrying. You're taking your football game tomorrow too seriously. I know it isn't nice to be beaten, but it isn't a matter of life and death, is it, Daddy?
It is, Betty. We're the champions. If the prison team beats us again, we'll be the laughingstock of the county. They would never beat us if we had a decent fullback. I need a man who can crash through their team, a terrific line plunger.
Daddy, Alan Young is built like a plunger.
I need a line plunger, not a rubber plunger. Besides, Alan Young is nothing but a dope and a jerk.
Well, I love him.
That's women for you. Your mother once fell in love with a dope and a jerk.
Really? What happened?
She married me. Just because your mother made a mistake doesn't mean you have to make one, too. Come in!
Hello, Betty.
Hello, Alan.
Yeah. Oh, how do you do, Mr. Dittenpepper? Oh, I don't know. I'll bet you're all excited about the game tomorrow, Mr. Dittenpepper. You think your team will win? You think the other team will win?
Alan, who do you think will win?
Well, Rao looks pretty good. Betty, will you excuse me a minute? I want to talk business with your father.
Oh, go right ahead, Alan. I can wait.
Thank you. Mr. Dittenpepper. Yes. As owner of this city's largest department store, I'm sure you know the value of signs. Why, do you realize what this world would be if there weren't any signs? People would be opening wrong doors all day and saying, whoops, pardon me.
I don't need any of your signs.
Oh, but you do, and I'll prove it. Just look at these wonderful samples I made up for you. Here, sample one. Your credit is good at Dittenpfeffer's store. Take advantage of our liberal easy credit plan. You only pay 10% down and 90% before you leave the store.
Alan, may I see that sign?
Of course. You want to give it a closer examination, I'm sure. There you are.
Now read me sample number two.
But, Mr. Dittenpfeffer, my first sample...
Read me sample number two.
Yes, sir. Shoppers, Dittenpfeffer sells for 10% less. And Dittenpfeffer has a reason. He gives you 10% less.
Alan, may I see that sign?
Of course. Here you are.
Now read me sample number three.
Why bother? This one's on me. Mr. Dittenpfeffer, if you don't care for this type of sign, I can make up some new ones.
Don't bother me with your signs. I have bigger worries. Yeah. I have to get a fullback for my football team. We're playing a crucial game tomorrow, and I need a man who can rip through a wall of human flesh. A fullback who can charge down the field, leaving a string of broken bodies behind him.
I'm here! I'm here! Come gather around me and sing my praises.
Hello, Hubert Uptike. And how is the town's richest boy? I suppose you're coming to see my team play tomorrow.
Oh, but Def. I just adore football. Why, last Saturday I went to see Army play Notre Dame.
Did you have good seats in the Yankee Stadium?
Oh, but Pop... I sat right on the 50-yard line, and if you don't believe me, I can still show you the chalk on my palm. Oh, that was a witty one. Yeah.
Hubert, you have such a wonderful sense of humor. If Betty would only give up Alan and marry you, you'd make such a fine son-in-law.
Oh, Papa, you'd make such a fine father-in-law.
Hubert, there are only a few left like you in this world.
Papa, there are only a few left like you in this world.
You see, that DDT is really working.
Papa, who is your team? Papa, who is your team playing tomorrow?
We're playing the State Prison Rock Crushers. Every man on their team weighs over 200 pounds, stands over 6 feet tall, and has at least one murder conviction to his credit. If I could only get a fullback to face them.
Ooh, I have a delightful suggestion. Why don't you put in Alan Young?
Why, they'd tear him to pieces. They'd mangle him. They'd kill him.
But, Papa, that's so good. I insist that you let Alan play.
No, I couldn't.
You must, Papa.
I can't do it.
But you must. You must. You must. Alan, I demand that you play against that band of criminals.
It's out of the question.
Hey, Pa!
David, what do you come bursting in like that? Why?
Your worries about a full Makarova. Take a look at what it says here in tonight's paper.
Let's see it. Local sports news. Alan Young scores 85 points in football game. Yale, Harvard, Notre Dame, and Vassar are bidding for his services. The brilliant, bone-crushing, 130-pound fullback reeled off gains amounting to a total of 1,358 yards in the first 2 minutes of play. Alan, is this true?
Well, they did exaggerate a little. I was only in a minute and a half.
Then that settles it. You're playing fullback against the Rock Crushers.
Oh, thanks, but... I'm going to put them! Fullback against the Rock? Now, wait a minute. I'm not going to play against them.
Alan, you've got to do it.
Well, you can't force me. You can't, you can't, you can't!
Alan, you play for me, and I'll make it worth your while. I'll give you a $1,000 sign order, and you and Betty can get married.
No, but gee, I'll... all right. I'll do it for Betty. Mr. Dintepper, I accept your offer.
Oh, three cheers and a tiger for our side.
This is wonderful. The team is saved.
Alan, I won't let you play in that game just for me. It's too dangerous.
Ah, I've played football before.
But, Alan, you're playing against a lot of big, husky men.
Ah, who cares?
But these men are thieves and murderers. They're out to kill everybody in your team.
Ah!
Now, Betty, you keep out of this. Alan said he's going to play, and he'll keep his word, even if they break every bone in his body. Isn't that right, Alan? Well, come on, Hubert. I'm sure Alan wants to be alone with Betty for a few last words. Because tomorrow I think you'll be pretty badly mangled.
Well, it couldn't happen to a nicer chap.
I'm not afraid. I'm not scared. I've been in these situations before. Best thing to do is to be cool, deliberate, calm, and completely at ease.
Alan.
Ah, pull a knife on me! Oh. Hello, Betty.
Oh, Alan, dear, I hate to see you like this. You're shaking like a leaf.
What's a leaf got to shake about? I gotta face those murderers. And every one of them is over 200 pounds.
Well, how much do you weigh, Alan?
130 pounds. Stooped over.
What do you mean, stooped over?
I can't get the bathroom scales out from under the sink.
Alan, I know you're not afraid. Yeah. Now, come over here and whisper sweet nothings in my ear. Let me hear your teeth chatter out that you love me.
Sorry, Betty, but I'm too nervous to talk about those things.
Pull yourself together, Alan. You played football in high school. Where's that old school spirit?
That's right, Betty. I've got to get that old school spirit again. I'll go out that field tomorrow with that same determination in my heart and that same fighting cheer on my lips.
Let me hear that old cheer once again, Alan.
Okay, Betty. I'll rock him. I'll sock him. I'll hit him in the clinch. I'll mangle him. I'll strangle him. Ooh, I'll give him such a pin.
Alan gets into the game, he's likely to find he's taking the kicking around instead of the football.
Peter Van Steven plays that popular Latin American tune, Good, Good, Good.
Between the State Prison Rock Crushers and the Ditton Pfeffer Dominoes. They just carried the 16th Ditton Pfeffer player off the field. The score, Rock Crushers 3, Dominoes nothing.
Now, don't worry, Daddy. I'm sure our team will do better from now on.
I certainly hope so. I'm beginning to wonder what kind of a team I have out there. They do nothing but hang around our goalposts. I feel like I have a dog team.
Dodge and twist and squirm. He's on the 20-yard line. The 10. The 5. He's over the goal line.
Yeah, now the other team's coming onto the field. Well, it won't be long now.
Time is in again, folks. The state prison team is ready to go. They look smart, wearing white jerseys with black stripes. Alan Young is sitting on the bench wearing the Ditton Pfeffer uniform, a black jersey with a wide yellow stripe down the back.
Alan, for heaven's sake, the other team is murdering us. There's only 2 minutes to go, and every time I want to put you in, you give me another excuse.
Well, I've been doing very important work around the bench, Mr. Ditton Pfeffer. When they carry our players off the field, somebody has to identify them.
Look, our team has the ball. Yeah. Tom Mazinski is running with it. Tom is cutting around left end.
Come on, Mazinski! Come on, Mazinski!
Oh, Tom, there's a tackler heading for you.
Come on, Mazinski! Get up, Mazinski.
Look, the whole Rock Crusher team is heading for Mazinski. Oh, no. Oh, Tom, Tom, Tom.
Those drums are driving me mad.
Look, another man is jumping on poor Mazinski. And another man. Now the whole state prison team is jumping on poor Mazinski. £2,000 on Mazinski.
Oh, poor Mazinski should be taken to the clubhouse. Have you got the key?
I won't need it. I'll just slip him under the door.
Never mind, Alan. I'll take care of him.
All right, Betty.
Alan, you're the last man I have left. You've been a big disappointment to me. I'm beginning to think you don't know anything about football.
Oh, I don't, eh? Just give me a bat and let me get out there. Right out there on the old pig iron.
Are you sure you know what you're doing?
Sure, I'm raring to go. Alert, keen-eyed, perfect eyesight. Where's the field?
It's out that way.
Oh.
Get out there, Alan, and win this game for me.
Right.
I expect you to score at least one touchdown.
Right.
Of course, they may break one of your arms.
Right. Maybe the left, too, huh?
Now, get out there, and good luck.
All right.
Attention, please. The Ditt and Pfeffer dominoes are making a substitution. Here comes Alan Young, running eagerly out on the field with Coach Ditt and Pfeffer pushing him. He reports to the referee, and now he's saying a few words to the state prison captain.
Hello. I'm Alan Young, and I'm going to play fullback.
Hey, that's pretty funny. A shrimp like you playing football against us. We're the champions. We eat guys like you for breakfast.
That's me, the breakfast of champions. Okay, team, let's play ball, see? Everybody line up. Signals. 18, 22, 47. Hop! I got the ball. Gee, look at the other team. They're coming at me. Hey, fellas, please! Please! No! No!
Okay, rock crushers. Get off the pile. I think we finished the little squirt.
Let's see if I'm all here. Two legs, two arms, two heads. Two heads! Oh, onto the football.
Hey, listen, Young. That was only a sample, see? Next time we're gonna give it to you good.
You are? That settles it. I'm quitting. Never wanted to play against those prisoners anyway. The heck with it with $1,000 order sign. I'm walking way off this field. I'm not gonna
play. Only 5 seconds left to play, folks. Well, they're lining up for the last play of the game. There's one man short in the Ditt and Pfeffer backfield. The ball is snapped. The quarterback fades back for a pass. He throws it. But there's nobody around to receive it. Wait a minute. The pass is going towards Alan Young, but he doesn't see it. Oh, what a game this is. This is the
I'm fed up with this game. Guess I wasn't meant to be a football player. I throw up my hands at the whole thing. What's this ball doing in my hands? Must be some wise guys. I'll just throw it right back at them.
Alan, for heaven's sake, you got the ball. Run!
I'm sorry, I'm not playing anymore. The kindergarten kids were fun, but these fellas play too rough.
Alan, run for the goal line. They're coming at you. Hurry!
What? Oh, not again, fellas. I've already resigned. No!
Alan, you saved the game.
I did?
Yes. You just scored the winning touchdown.
I did? Then I get the $1,000 order for the Christmas signs?
Forget the Christmas signs. I got something for you that's better than that.
You have?
I'm going to make you permanent fullback, and next week we're playing the Alcatraz Assassin.
Oh, no! Thanks. See you next week. Good night.
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.
Be sure to tune in next time, my friends, for another classic comedy radio show. I'm Greg Fordyce.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.